from Spark and Anvil and Stageforge. This is Block, in Chapter 1 of the Stageforge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. Block crouched at the edge of the empty stage, her chunky director's vest bulging with pockets, and set two tiny figurines down on the bare boards. She nudged one 3 steps toward the audience and stopped. Her tail went still. "There," she murmured, more to herself than to anyone. "Now the room is different." She was a small wolf tween, soft gray cream fur with a dark stripe down her back, and nothing about her was scary, but the way she watched space made older actors go quiet. She tilted her head, studying the gap between the two figures like it was a living thing. A young rabbit named Tuft, waiting for rehearsal, leaned over. "They're just standing there," he said. "They're not," Block said, and slid one figurine a hand's width closer. "Watch what your eyes do." Tuft's ears swiveled. His gaze snapped to the pair. "See? You felt them get close. I never said a word." She had learned to read space long before she ever saw a theater. Block grew up in the Wolfpack Village, where her family were the pack coordinators, the ones who planned the hunt, the travel, the long treks across open ground. A pack that scatters starves. A pack that moves as one eats. So from the time she was a pup, Block's grandmother would set pebbles in the dirt and make her arrange them. "This one leads. Where do the others stand?" her grandmother would ask. Block would push a pebble forward, another to the flank, 2 behind. "Why there?" "Because if the leader falls, the flank sees it first," small Block would say. Her grandmother would tap the pebble that led. "Where each body stands next to the others, that is the whole plan. Move it wrong, and the plan is wrong." Block practiced until she could feel it. A body too far back was a body that couldn't help. A body too close was a body in the way. Space was never empty. Space was a sentence. When she was 12, she walked to Stageforge with her floor plan board tucked under one arm and her pockets full of figurines. Curtin, the mentor of the place, met her at the wide doors and did not ask her to perform anything. She just gestured at the stage. "Two people who love each other," Curtin said. "Show me. No talking." Block knelt and placed 2 figures near center, angled toward one another, close enough that their shoulders nearly touched. Then she looked up. Curtin's eyes had already softened at the little pair. Block moved 1 figure 4 steps back and turned it away. Curtin frowned before she could stop herself. "You changed how I feel about them," Curtin said slowly, "and you didn't change a thing about who they are." "I changed where they stand," Block said. "That's the story arriving before the words do." Curtin smiled. "The way you smile when someone shows you a thing you already half knew." "Then this stage is yours," she said. In her workshop, Block gathered a knot of young actors around her floor plan and set the same 2 figurines out again. "Two characters are arguing," she said. "Position 1. She pushed them face to face, so close they nearly overlapped. "What is this?" "A fight," said Tuft. "They're right in each other's faces." "Good." Block slid 1 figure far back, toward the rear of the little stage, and left the other near the front edge. "Position 2. Same argument. What changed?" A fox kit near the back spoke up. "The one in front looks open, sort of exposed." "And the one behind?" "Like they're above it, looking down." Block's ears lifted. "You just heard power move across the stage, and no one said a single new line." She turned the 2 figures back to back, spines pressed together. "Position 3. Now?" The room went quiet. "They're stuck together," Tuft said finally, "but they're all alone." "That," Block said softly, "is what a body can say when a mouth won't." She let them sit with it. Then she told them the one rule she cared about most. Don't ever let an actor just wander. A wander says nothing. A step with a reason says everything. Plan it, walk it, change it if it lies. Where they stand tells the story. Rehearsal ended late, and the young actors drifted off in twos and threes. Block stayed behind, gathering her figurines back into her pockets, and Tuft lingered by the edge of the stage. "How do you know when it's right?" he asked. "The standing part?" Block set the last figure down instead of pocketing it. She placed a second one beside it, not touching, but near, that careful, just close enough distance she had spent her whole life learning to feel. She looked at the little pair in the empty, dim workshop, and something warm settled behind her ribs. "You don't measure it," she said. "You feel it. When two people stand exactly close enough, the whole room leans in without meaning to. It goes quiet. It holds its breath." She glanced up at Tuft, and her voice went gentle. "That little tug you notice, that pull in your chest, that's the story landing, right there. That's the part I love, not the plan, the moment the room forgets to breathe." Tuft looked at the two figures for a long moment. Then, very carefully, he reached out and moved one a hair closer. The gap tightened, and he felt it too.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Block. Released under Creative Commons BYNC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.